Welcome, my creative friends. Welcome back to the Do It For The Process podcast. It is an honor to be in this space with you where we get to talk about creativity, the creative process, marketing, growing a studio in the ever-changing online world and the offline world. We've made it through a lot, honestly. I began this podcast before the pandemic. We made it through all of that. It was a strange time. It's still a strange time, 4 years later. And as we evolve and grow as a society, as a community, as a broader world, your creative business also needs to evolve and grow. And so this is where I get to talk about that evolution. And I get to talk about that process of taking your vulnerable, beautiful creative work, the things that you create in the privacy of your own heart and mind, your own studio, and you crack that door open a little bit and let us look inside and let us participate in your creative expression by seeing it, appreciating it, buying it, living with it. It's an honor to get to be a part of that in whatever way we get to be a part of that. So thank you for creating your work and thank you for sharing it in whichever way you're sharing it at this phase, which I hope after listening to this podcast, and there's a lot of episodes to dive into, if you're like, I'm still scared too. It's part of being a creative and being bold, and it takes a lot of bravery. But there is a lot here for you if you need reassurance, if you need community. There's a lot of space for you inside of this podcast. There's also a lot of space for you inside of the courses and memberships that I offer. Speaking of which, Making Artwork opens for enrollment in March, and that is the best, the absolute best community space and resource I can possibly give to you, my dear creative friend, especially if you fall into that category of wanting to grow your studio, of wanting to see your work expand and take up a lot of space, get a lot more sales, get a lot more attention, diversify. Maybe you want to begin making different kinds of products or offers or services, and you want to kind of make this thing more multifaceted. But how do you do that while keeping your work front and center? And it's just a lot. All I'm trying to say is I know what it looks like to grow a studio. I share a lot of information inside of this podcast, so only imagine how much more there is inside of Making Artwork. It's a 9-week masterclass. It is dedicated to really giving you every single resource that you will need for the rest of your creative career. That's a really big claim. I'm standing by it. I've watched it transform businesses and lives, and that's just a freaking honor. Like, what? Oh my gosh, that's incredible. It's incredible. So look into that if you're like, wait, I think I need this. You probably do. Let's do it. Let's do it this year. Let's do it together. I would love to help really amplify and expand what you're creating because that gives me so much pleasure and so much joy. The only thing that I love more than helping other artists thrive is painting myself in my own studio. So that says a lot. Okay, let's dive into this series. This is going to be a 3-part series on my marketing predictions for 2024. And I'm imagining these will kind of be the predictions for 2025 also and going forward. So if you're listening to this in the future, well, that's kind of trippy for me to think about. But I think this is the new shift that's happening in the marketing world. So let's talk about it because it's going to really impact the way that you spend your energy. No more wasted energy, please. No more spending energy on things that worked in 2015, 2019, 2021. No, we have to evolve. We have to really shift the way that we allocate our precious, precious creative energy. And marketing does require a lot of creative energy. I'm just going to say it. It is an extrovert activity. It requires you to show up, to speak loudly, to make sure that your work can be seen and be heard. And your work deserves that, right? Like, if you think about it, I'm a painter, so I'll kind of talk about paintings. If I were to spend all of my creative energy creating the most exceptional artwork, that's awesome. I love that for me, and only for me. That would mean that I have a stack, a little mountain of exceptionally glorious art that no one gets to see but myself. And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, I support that. I will champion you. I will cheer you on. I love that. But there is this beautiful shift that happens when you're like, wait, I kind of want this to be seen by somebody else. And I would also argue that art wants to be seen by people. You count. So if you made the art and you look at it, that's awesome. That counts. But there's something about creativity and about art in particular, the creative mediums that we all create, whether it's, you know, things that would fall more into the maker realm or the craft realm or the fine art realm, anywhere in between. The things that we create, they have a point of view and they have a voice. You gave them a voice. You spoke that voice into them as their maker, which is just so cool. So with that voice now being held by this thing, part of its job, part of its goal, part of its purpose for being in this world is to be seen, appreciated, loved, understood. That's the primary thing, right? Like understood by somebody else. So if I paint a landscape, there's that part of the process where I'm in my studio, I'm loving what I'm creating. It's filling me with so much goodness. I'm walking away feeling refreshed. And that can be art therapy for me. And that's, again, completely valid. Its job has done. Like, that's awesome. When I shift my energy to say, okay, now I've gotten what I wanted out of this thing. I loved that process. That filled me. This podcast is called Do It for the Process because of that. Because if you only think about this next half, if you only think about how it's being seen by somebody else, you will burn out. I know, I've done it. It's not fun. You will burn out. You'll have your focus on the wrong thing. You'll feel like a painting robot or a creating robot. You're going to feel like your collectors are always the ones in charge. You're going to feel like no one's ever seeing your work. It's never getting appreciated quite enough. There's a lot of negative things that come if you only think about this next half, which is once the artwork is done, you finished it, you've gotten what you wanted out of the process. That's beautiful. Now it's going to be appreciated and seen by somebody else. That part takes a lot of energy. Back to the creative energy allocation, creating your work takes energy. Yes, we know that. Marketing and sharing your work also takes creative energy. And that's the part that can feel frustrating if you're spending your energy on things that aren't effective, right? Like if they're not working and you're always just like literally spinning your wheels, creating content that you hope will do well or trying to get people on your email list and it's just feeling ineffective, like that can be deeply exhausting. So let's maybe do less of that moving forward and do more of the things that are effective and fun because you're going to see results, okay? Like I said, this is going to be a three-part series. I have 10 recommendations for you for marketing predictions, marketing trends, marketing shifts, aka things that you should be doing as a creative entrepreneur in 2024 and beyond. I'll give you the first three today. And I'm breaking this up because I could put this all in one episode, but I don't know about you, but I tend to get overwhelmed when I hear a lot of things and I might take away one. And I might be like, okay, yeah, I got that one. Perfect. And that might be what I needed. And that might be all I need for right now. And that's completely fine. But I want you to hear all 10 of these. And I want you to try to implement all 10 of these. So I'm going to give you three in this episode, three in the next episode, and then four in the last episode. And I want you to take away at least one from each. Okay. If you can take away all of them, A+, gold star. That's awesome. But at least hear one thing today and try to implement it. Okay. Maybe you come back and listen to it again and try to implement the next thing. But let's talk about the way that things are shifting in the online world. And the thing that I want to just begin this conversation with is point number one, your reach is more important than your following. This is a change. In the past, your following mattered so much. On Instagram, once you got to 10,000 followers, you got to add links to your stories. That was a huge deal. People would really, really work towards that because adding links to your stories was a huge deal. It really was effective and it really mattered. That was a while ago. That was a long time ago, actually, in the online world. And now we're shifting away from your following mattering so much. It still matters. It's still important. And, when people see your content, a lot of them will follow, but honestly, not to the same degree as they used to. And that is completely fine because what matters more than your following is your reach. So if you have an account on Instagram or on TikTok or on Pinterest or wherever you're sharing your work, and you have the kind of account that you can see your data, go in and check out your reach. So, how many people are viewing your content, are seeing what you're posting? That number matters more than your following. So, track that one. Your following will grow as your reach grows. It's kind of science, like the data that doesn't lie. But the number is shifting because now our explore pages are so good. Our Instagram following is becoming kind of stagnant. So people kind of have their following, people that they follow, and they're good. Like if you follow someone new, it's kind of a big deal, right? Whereas 5, 6 years ago, you followed someone new quite often because that's just how the internet was expanding at that time. Now it's expanding in a different way where you don't have to be someone's follower to see their content a lot. There are some makers that I see their content a lot, and I don't follow them. Isn't that cool? Like, I feel like I know them. The algorithm knows that I'm into this kind of content. It knows that I like to see this kind of thing. So it shows me their content, even though I'm not following them. I get a lot of psychology quotes. I get a lot of reels from artists. I get a lot of painting demos or like paint mixing because I love to make my own paint. So, like a lot of paint mixing things. The algorithm is watching what I'm sharing and it's sharing things that are a sister to that vibe or to that energy. It's very intelligent. So, if you're kind of stressing out about your numbers and you're like, my following is not changing, oh, I'm so distressed by this. This is one area I can go, hey, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Is your reach growing? Are people seeing your content more and more readily? Is your content tickling the algorithm's fancy in a certain way? That matters more than your following. So, yay, isn't that great? Your following definitely matters. So I don't want you just to totally discount that and just, be like, oh, it doesn't matter, no followers, no big deal. But I just want to reiterate that your reach is actually your content being seen by people. So, like, I think that matters a lot. So, if you have the ability to look at your metrics, if you have the ability to go into the back end and look at the numbers, see who's seeing your work, see who's seeing your content, then do that. And hopefully, for sure, also, like, this will happen. But hopefully, as your reach grows, your following will also grow because people, oh, hi, Picasso, baby. My cat's gonna be crying for his food, so just ignore him. His food is coming very soon. But let's just kind of refocus that perspective of reach over following. The second thing I want to kind of add is like a point B to this. So reach is more important than following, but engagement is also more important than following. And if your reach is growing, people are seeing your work more and more readily, especially in places like Instagram Reels, TikTok For You page, Pinterest, YouTube, these spaces where you're going to attract an audience that isn't currently your audience because people are just on the apps, enjoying content, kind of, scrolling and seeing things that they're hopefully helpful things, but they're just entertaining or they're informative or they're interesting in some way. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But as that happens and people that are not in your current following are seeing your content, having them engage with your content, both your followers and your non-followers, is that a word? I don't know. Having them engage with your content is very crucial. And engagement would be things like viewing. The algorithm can tell exactly what's happening inside of its own app. It is highly complex. It is highly intelligent. It's watching everything. So if someone is viewing your work, the algorithm knows. If they swipe through on some posts, if you have a carousel post or multiple images or multiple things to look at, if they swipe through, that's engagement. If they like or if they comment, of course, that's engagement, highly valuable engagement. If they share it to somebody, ooh, That's awesome. TikToks get shared readily. Instagram reels get shared readily. These things are like highly shareable. Quotes, if someone adds something to their stories, if they repost it, highly, highly, highly valuable. But even just viewing something or reading something or watching a video on a loop or watching it all the way through, that's all really valuable engagement. So make a list of these things and think about how you can encourage that kind of behavior. How can you encourage someone to read your content, to listen to your words, to watch your videos, to scroll through on your carousel posts, to share, to like, to comment, to repost? Like, how can you actually encourage this kind of behavior by creating content that they want to share, that they want to engage with? Yes. By asking them to do this, by encouraging the algorithm to show your work to people that actually have engaging patterns. You know, not everyone actually engages with content on social media. Some people just kind of scroll and scroll and scroll. But some people, we all know the people that do this, right? Some people share things to their stories every single day, or they repost things, or they share things with their friends. And those kinds of people are highly valuable social media players, if you will, because the algorithm knows that they're really engaging. Like, they're actually just like in it. They're creating community, they're creating connections, they're creating friendships. So the more that you do this, the more that you'll be shown to people that also do this. Think about it this way. If I host a party, I'm going to invite people to this party that I know are going to converse. They're going to play the game. They're going to sit at the dinner table and want to eat the food. They're going to be a good member of the party, right? I, as the host, have to create the space for that. You, as the Instagram host or the Pinterest host or the TikTok host, you're creating a space for that kind of engagement. If you create a happy, healthy, vibrant party, you are going to have people come to your party that want to be there. The invite will go to those people. If you kind of think of the algorithm as the invite, it's sharing your work to people, it's showing your post to people, it's the connector, right? The algorithm is the mailman who's carrying your envelope to someplace. Once that person gets the invitation, they get the envelope, they get the letter in the mail, they're opening it up, they're like looking at your content, they're watching your video. The more engaging your account is, the more you're a vibrant, exciting, special place to be, a special host, the more the algorithm will take your content to exciting, vibrant people on the app. Which is awesome. It's so fun. So again, how can you encourage this kind of behavior? You can ask for it. You can say it. You can request it. You have that power. So be the kind of account that should be shared. The algorithm will be like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I mean, sadly, the algorithm doesn't actually think like that, but we can humanize it a little bit and just be like, ugh, this person is creating incredible content. I'm going to share it with people that I think are also very, very cool. So one thing to keep in mind is, in the same way that all press is good press, all engagement is good engagement. So every now and then, I'll see people on TikTok primarily, every now and then Instagram as well, but they'll create content that's a little bit controversial just to get a rise, just to get a stir, just to get some comments flowing or some things in the, you know, just engagements or interactions that incite some kind of energy. And this is a very smart thing to do. If you can find some way to engage your audience with their opinions, get their emotions going a little bit. Maybe you can be like, do you prefer pink or yellow? And get like a firm pink or yellow vote on both sides. I don't know. You can just create some kind of space for opinions to have space. But that being said, every now and then I'll see someone who's just like making people riled up because all engagement is good engagement with the algorithm. And I personally don't love that energy, but you know, just have to say it because I'm helping you be smart with Instagram and with social media. So, and now you know, if you want to create some drama, the algorithm would notice that and would see that engagement as all positive. So there is that. Okay. Point number two. That was all point number one. This got very nerdy. And my main takeaway, which is in the past 20 minutes, we've talked about point number one. And I want to summarize it all by saying that reach is more important than your following. Engagement is more important than your following. Your following is important. The algorithm does see your following and it does matter. But those two things matter more, which is awesome. And I will also say that as your reach and the engagement go up, your following will also go up. But usually it does follow that reach, engagement, following. Those are step one, step two, step three. So focus on step one, increase your reach. Okay. Wow, I could have said all that in 1 second. Oh my gosh. Step number one, increase your reach. We got that one. Perfect. It took me 20 minutes to get there. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, cool. Number two, be a human. Please, please be beautiful, be well spoken, be thoughtful, be funny, be you. But in the world of AI, be a human. I don't know about you, but I can tell when a caption wrote something via, or when AI wrote the caption there. I just said it wrong. Wow, I'm so human, I can't even speak. I can tell when a caption was written by AI. I can tell when the artwork that I'm looking at was created by AI. And every now and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I love that. And I'm like, oh my God, it's AI. Ugh. And I appreciate AI and I think it's really, really cool and very, very fascinating. But in a space where you're wanting to connect with a human, make sure your words are coming from a human, yourself, please. You can tell. I rely on AI in some areas of my business, and I'm happy to talk about that. I do a lot of quick shortcuts with AI. I do a lot of editing or a lot of proofreading. I'm writing a book right now, and AI is my proofreading genius. However, I am a human, and I want to speak like a human. I want to be heard like a human. I want to relate to humans. So if I let a computer write my words for me, that is boring for me primarily. I think also for my audience. So be a human, be funny, be you, be engaging. Recently, I was at the dentist and I had some time to kill and I was a little nervous because, you know, ooh, so I probably had 10 minutes and I already had a reel that was in my draft folder. So while I was sitting there for those 10 minutes of just kind of nervous energy, I wrote a caption and I'm like, I'm at the dentist right now. Distract me, help me figure this out. And I don't know what I said, but an AI generated content like caption would not have had that kind of energy where it felt very human and very relatable and very much like, hey, I'm a person sitting in the dentist chair. Let's talk. And I had a thing that I wanted to talk about. So we did. And the comments were so relatable. And people really were like, I'm with you. I'm at the dentist right now, too. Or they were, you know, talking about their experiences. Or we just got to be humans together. So be as human as you possibly can be. Be funny, be imperfect, be honest, be vulnerable, be silly, be soulful, be thoughtful, be sad, be whatever you need to be. But I think in the age of increasing dependence on AI, those of us that can write with a very human connection, we should do it. And that's you, by the way. You can do this. You got this. That was so much faster. Wow. Good job, Emily. You spent, you know, just a couple minutes on that one versus 20 minutes on the last point. All right. So let's move on to point number three, our last one for today. Again, take one thing away from this podcast and begin to implement it, please. Our last tip for the day is to create threads. So again, we're here thinking about the algorithm. We're thinking about the way that things are being connected. The algorithm is looking at the content that we're creating, finding people that are going to enjoy it, sending it to them, right? Just like a mail carrier would. As you begin to create content that people can sink into, your engagement's going to go up for those pieces of content. And the algorithm is going to begin to notice people are watching this as if it were a viral thread. This happens a lot on TikTok. It happens a lot on Reels. Not quite as often, though. TikTok, it's very, very popular to have threads. It's a little bit trickier on Pinterest to post this kind of content, but you could do like a Pinterest stories. Instagram stories also have a really good place for this to happen. Creating threads, creating themes, creating stories, creating part one, part two, part three, part four style content. This makes a really good Instagram carousel post. It makes a really good multi-video series. There was one recently about who the fuck did I marry is what it was called on TikTok. It went viral. I haven't watched it personally, but I know it was like 50 videos long and people really got into it. That kind of thing, where it's a multi-part series talking about an idea, talking about a thing, talking about educational content, a funny story, a list of things like the 12 zodiac signs, but you break it up into part 1 through 6 and then 7 through 12. This kind of content, I'm doing it now. I'm creating a 3-part series for this podcast episode. That kind of thing lets you get people involved in something. It doesn't overwhelm them. They can watch one part and then say, I want more, I want more, I want more. And then as they go through the series, they're getting the full picture. And it lets you tell your story or let something really sink in a way that feels very authentic, feels congruent, doesn't feel too rushed. And that's awesome. So think about a thread that you can create. Think about a theme or a way that you can relate your content to itself. This could be, you know, something that you post all the parts right at once. You could post one a day. You could post one a month. My friend Anna Nunez did this beautiful series called the Color of the Month series, and it was once a month. Towards the beginning of the month, she would post a beautiful styled shot, a color swatch. Go look it up. Anna Nunez on Instagram. Beautiful, beautiful work. But the color a month, the color of the month series was once a month. So you could do something like that. You could have something where you post, you know, like a recap of your week every Friday. It could be a story about when you went to the post office and met someone really cool. It could be like a multi-part story in that way. It could be showing an event, but showing it in smaller chunks. So maybe you do a retreat and you have day 1, part 1, day 1, part 2, day 2, part 1, day 2, part 2, that kind of thing. So just think about ways that you can tell a lingering story and link the stories to one another and let people just sink in to what you're creating and sink into what you're offering to them. And not feel rushed. I think that's a really generous thing that we can offer in the world of, especially in the social media world, everything is so fast and short and like zoom, 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 and we're on to the next thing so fast. So if you can hook someone in with that first taste, and if they can go, oh my gosh, I want more of this, then letting them sink into something is so refreshing. Like, it is so refreshing to be like, I'm going to sit here and watch this series. I want to watch this 5-part series. I want to listen to this 3-part thing. I want to read this 2-part Instagram post. It's generous and beautiful and exciting, and I love it. Maybe that's just me, but I don't think so. I think we kind of love it. So find a way to do that. Write down some ideas, follow them through, and create what you're inspired to create. All right, so recap from today. Your reach is more important than your following. Your engagement is more important than your following. And that would go in the order, reach to engagement to following. If you want more following, then work on that reach first and foremost. Number 2, be so human. AI is not the answer. AI can be an incredible tool, but make sure that you're connecting human to human. Even if you use some AI, you can use those tools. I'm not saying no to those tools. I am saying no to becoming boring and robotic, okay? And then the third point for today is to create threads, themes, stories, multi-part series. Get creative. Find something that you can be the expert, or you can be... the expert's kind of a big word, but you can be the one that has a thing that needs to be said and needs time and space to say it. You can do that. Your work is worth that kind of effort and that kind of attention from your audience. All right. I hope that this has been encouraging. Let's pull a card for today. This is from the Do It For The Process affirmation deck found in my shop, and I love these cards so much. Each one has really beautiful artwork on the front and then an affirmation on the back just to kind of center you as you begin creating. So as I send you into the world to go create something beautiful to share with your audience, which again, I know takes bravery and takes vulnerability and takes creativity, and that creative energy lives inside of you. Allocate a little bit of it to your marketing because your work deserves to be seen and to be heard, okay? But as we do that, let's center ourselves with an affirmation. Oh my gosh, this one's perfect. They always are. This always happens. This affirmation on the back of this card says, "Today I will do it for the process and not for external affirmation." I think I read that one last time. Whoa, wait. No, I for sure did. In the first episode that I posted this year, it was on the goal setting workshop, the goal setting, you know, theme of the year. And I posted a video that I shared in the collective. And in that video, I read this card. And you've already heard this before in this podcast. I think we need to hear this twice. I'm just going to keep this as is. The card that I pulled today, I already read on this podcast, and it is, "Today I will do it for the process and not for external affirmation." Maybe we need that. Maybe that's the theme of the year for all of us. Whew, I love that. If so, that's beautiful. All right, that's all I have for you today. Again, come back because I have two more episodes similar to this one with really practical and I hope encouraging marketing predictions for 2024, social media growth in 2024. I hope this has been helpful and clarifying and just kind of a way to see marketing and to see social media from a different point of view, a more updated point of view. 2021, 2019, 2017, they are all in the past, and therefore their marketing strategies are also a little bit in the past. Let's evolve, let's grow, let's shift into what we need today. If you're ready for a lot of growth, a lot of evolution, and a lot of just really beautiful insight into how to grow a business, how to grow your studio, your fine art studio, your handmade studio, join Making Artwork When Doors Open March 14th. This happens once a year. It is an investment of time, energy, money. It will change your life. I promise you of that. Not only will I give you literally everything that I know about running a business, truly, I will open up everything for you. And if I didn't answer it in the most detail you could possibly want, we have live workshops every week so I can get even more into it with you and I can answer your questions and look at your business and really mentor you, which is just so cool. But this community also inside of Making Artwork is so life-giving and vibrant. The alumni from this space are people that you know. You've seen them online. You've seen their work. You know who they are. They transform their businesses. They transform the world in doing so, which is absolutely incredible. And a lot of them have come back as guest experts. Talia Stanton took Making Artwork in 2020. And if you need someone to watch for some social media inspiration, she is now one of our guest experts inside of the course. Her work is absolutely incredible. Look up Talia Stanton and then learn from her in Making Artwork. She opens up her exact method for growing her social media, and she has millions of followers selling incredible numbers of prints as a result. And she opens up exactly how she does it and what she shares and how she shares it and how she films and what she records and all these different things. And her process is incredible. Her generosity is incredible. So I share everything I can possibly share with you. I bring in experts who I'm deeply inspired by, people that just are incredible. Morgan Harper Nichols, Talia Stanton, as I said. We have experts that are much more niche and maybe not quite as famous, but they know their stuff, like SEO experts, meta ad experts, like people that I'm like, yes, tell us the secrets, please. They're incredible. So go look at the expert list, look at the content. See what's right for you. Like I said, it's 9 weeks. It is a lot in 9 weeks. Actually, it's 10 weeks. I take that back. It's 9 weeks of content. It's 10 weeks long because we have like a little break this year. This is our first time offering the little intermission, just so we can all breathe a little bit and begin to implement and then come back and be like, okay, we got this. So one intermission break, 10 weeks long, and it will change your whole life. I promise you. All right, join me in Making Artwork. Join me in the next podcast episode where we'll talk about, I'll give you a little teaser, video, low production content. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Personal contact, like how can you speak to humans? We'll talk about that more. Automations, paid ads. Okay, that's enough. I'll stop talking about it. We'll get into all that in the next two episodes. In the meantime, like and review this podcast, please. It means a lot to me. I love reading reviews. Your words are so sweet, like truly so, so sweet. If you have a question or would like to share something with me or my team, I would love to hear that. You can email us at learn@emilyjeffords.com, EmilyJeffords. And you can also follow me if you want to like come see my Instagram, you know, since we've been talking about Instagram all day. My account is Emily_Jeffords, and I would love to see you there. If you do follow me from this episode and you haven't followed me in the past on Instagram, send me a DM. I would love to get to know you and get to know this, like who's listening to this. It's kind of weird just talking to myself. So if you would like to come say hi, I would love to hear from you. Okay, bye for now.